Good morning. Welcome to Wylie Methodist Church this morning. We are glad that you're worshiping with us. Are you glad that you're worshiping with us? We're glad that you're worshiping with us at home with our live stream as we continue to worship this morning. Just looking, I'm just soaking you up a little bit. Is it okay? It's okay with you? It's good to be with you. If you are, as we continue to worship, the offering plates are up here. Feel free to come and with your offering. If you're at home, you can give online. Let's pray. Father, we are, as we just sang, we love you, Lord. But what really humbles us is that you love us. Stir our hearts today, God. Bless these gifts. And bless these givers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jeff and I were talking this morning about the future and what the future holds. And I got to thinking about, you know, in baseball, when it's going to be your time to bat, you're on deck. Right? You're getting your swing warmed up. You're on deck. And, you know, the manager says, you know, this is your time to bat. Keep it up. Loud, this is your time to bat. Get on deck. And I think Jesus is looking at the church. And I think we're on deck. We're getting ready. The world hadn't seen nothing yet. It's getting time for the church to stand up and go, you know what? We've got a job to do. We're going to spread the gospel. We're going to tell everyone about Jesus that we can and take them with us, because we're pilgrims traveling through this land. We're not a part of it. We live in it, but we're not a part of it. And we're going to take as many people as we can to Jesus. That's our job. And we will not be silenced. Amen. Our testimony will not be silenced. We're going to tell everybody where we met Jesus and when it happened. Our testimony will not be silenced. Sing this with me. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a belly. You can be seated. I'm waiting for the music. My kids won't know when to come down if we don't play that music. Nope. Kids, are you ready? It's time for children's church. Come on down.
Are you excited? Are you really excited?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. So let me get this off right here and kind of get it rearranged a little bit. Okay. So do you know what this is? Nope. It's not a flashlight. Mm-hmm. Do you know what this is? Does anybody know what this is? No? Do you know what this is? You know what this is? It's called a kaleidoscope. Okay, how many of you know what a kaleidoscope is? Do y'all know what a kaleidoscope is? Yes, okay. So this is at the end, they have all these little gems in there, and you look through here, and you shine it in the light, and you turn it, right? And you're going to see beautiful colors and designs, and every time you turn it, guess what it does? It changes. It's different. It never stays the same. Did you know that a kaleidoscope will never be the same thing? It changes every time you turn it. Isn't that amazing? Huh? Yeah, there's some white, there's some color. Let's see, there's purple and orange and green and yellow in there. So yeah, so you hold it up to the light and you turn it and you see beautiful colors, but it is constantly changing. So you could spend a lot of time looking at that, and you might see a design that you like and you want to share it with your friend, but if I handed it off to somebody, guess what happens to the design? It messes it up. It changes, because every time you even slightly move it, it changes. It never stays the same.
So you just changed it?
I just changed it. Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing? You know? So, well, we're going to talk about things that everything changes every day. Did you know that? So every day you get up, it's a brand new day, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not the same as it was yesterday. You may do some of the same things, but you're not always going to do the same thing, right? So, you don't wear the same clothes every day, I hope, right? No, maybe. Okay. Do you eat the same food every day?
No.
Do you do different things?
Yeah. Yes.
Everything. Okay. Does the weather change every day?
Yes.
Yes. One day it could be ice. One day it could be raining. One day it could be 90 degrees. We never know. Or it could be snowing. You like to play in snow? Everything around us is constantly changing. Do you know that you're changing every day? Have you ever thought about that? You're changing. You're getting older. You're getting bigger. You're getting taller. Your hair gets longer. You're different. You have to wear different size clothes. You're getting smarter. You're learning stuff. So you are changing every day. Do you ever want anything to be the same? Yeah? Mm-hmm. You know, is there at least one thing that might be the same in our lives? What do you think might be the one thing that's the same all the time? Does anybody know?
God loves us.
God loves us. That's right. There is the one thing. Jesus is the one thing that never, ever changes. Did you know that? His love for us is the same as it was yesterday, same as it is today, and it's going to be the same in years to come. God's love is always there. It says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So even though things around us are changing, and sometimes we don't know what to do or what to think, because there is a lot of things that have been changing in our world, we can always know that Jesus remains the same. His love for us remains the same. His truth, God's word, is the same. We can trust that it is always there, and we can count on Jesus all the time. He is the same always. He never changes. Isn't it amazing that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus for us, and that his love for us never changes? So when things are going on in your world and things are changing, what is the one thing that never changes?
God.
That's right. Let's say a prayer. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you love us and that you are never changing, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord, as we move through each day of our lives in some of the uncertainties and things that are going on in our lives, Lord. We thank you for each one of these boys and girls and their families, Lord. Just bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let's go.
Mommy,
yes.
I like to eat snow too.
You like to eat snow?
Yeah.
Okay. He plays.
Well, Jesus never changes. That's what I got from that sermon. Amen. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, welcome to Wiley Methodist Church. If you're in person or at home, God bless you. Thanks for joining us this morning. You can register through our app at some point today if you'd like to do that. Just want to remind you about the Operation Christmas Child. Our collection week starts next week on Monday the 16th and runs through the Monday the 23rd. So that'll be the last opportunity to have your shoeboxes turned in. We've got one final little wrap-up video for Operation Christmas Child, so let's watch that real quick.
This is an explosion of happiness.
These kids are so excited because they are receiving toys for the very first time.
Who doesn't want a gift? Who doesn't want a present?
It shows them that out there are people who really care about you.
You've got an army of volunteers that pack the boxes.
Our volunteers for Operation Christmas Child, I believe, are the lifeline of this project.
To think that we can be part of something that's going to reach over 10 million kids this year, that's exciting.
When the box ends into the hands of a child, that is not the end.
The big impact at the end of the day is lives that are changed.
It's my prayer that God will use you to tell others about his son, Jesus Christ.
Operation Christmas Child is creating a ripple that's going around the globe.
So it started with a box, and it's ending with communities and countries being changed.
You know, these boxes are like a candle. It's a little bit of light that you take into a dark part of the world, and it makes a difference.
Thank you. Very good.
We want the children of the world to know that there is a God. He loves them.
So you can continue to pack your shoeboxes, or you can pack one online. Our goal for the online option was 100 for our church. I checked yesterday. We're at 63. So you can access that link either through our app or through the website. And I want to remind you that we're planning a trip to the processing center on the 12th of December. Naomi Wood is leading that trip, so you can contact her if you'd like to go. In 2 weeks, it's Turkey Tuesday. I don't know where I'm from, West Texas or somewhere. And we're going to flood the Carver neighborhood with folks and turkeys, and we're going to take turkeys to Bethel UMC and also the Methodist Food Pantry. You can join us that day there at 4 p.m. on the 24th, or you can donate $15 to help pay for our turkeys, and you can do that either through the app or on our website. So let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I encourage you just to connect with him this morning. He is here. He is large and in charge. Father, I just think about what Carlene shared, Lord, that you never change. Father, you're high and exalted. You've always been high and exalted. Far above every rule, all authority, all power. We just want to encounter you this morning. Father, would you move in power? Would you reveal yourself to us as we draw near to you, Father? Your word says you will draw near to us. Would you reveal yourself to us this morning in a radical, in a profound way? Oh, Father, we need you desperately. Touch our hearts, stir us. Bring healing and comfort and peace. And Lord, this morning we may not even feel like we're worthy of that. Jesus, you hung on a cross for us. You won that for us on the cross. So as your children, that is available for us. Make that a reality for some people in this room this morning. Oh God, you hold the future. It's in the palm of your hands. And Lord, we don't. And so we look to you. We gaze at your beauty this morning. Lord, we praise you for who you are. And God, I lift up those who are struggling with illness. Father, I pray for healing. God, I don't want to single people out. I lift up Krista Bunger to you this morning. Pray that you radically touch her body. Lord, you just do a work there, God, for your glory. And those that are connected, loosely connected to our church, struggling with COVID, God, I pray for healing. I lift up Scotty Lindley to you, Father. Pray you touch him and others as well. Oh, Father, you're so, so good. God, I just pray that your presence is so strong that we can almost feel it, Lord, this morning. We almost like we could reach out and touch it. I pray it's that tangible. Flood this place with your presence. Change us, oh God, for your glory. Father, we love you for who you are. We adore you for who you are. God, thank you for opportunities to come together in the name of Jesus. I bless those that are in their homes this morning. Father, that there's this strong supernatural connection to what's going on in this room. You are the Lord of distance. So there can be this connection. I pray that this morning. Father, we thank you again for opportunities to pray. And as we continue to worship you, we just want to honor and glorify you. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.
Lee, let's do I Am. We're going to skip one. Thank you. to worship any way you want. You don't have to stand. You don't have to sit. Any way you want to touch God is fine. spend some time with the Father. He's here for each one of you.
Everybody say, hey-o. Hey-o. All right. Good deal. Got you awake anyway. Glad that you are with us this morning. We are especially glad that our live stream's with us. If you're our guest this morning, we are thrilled that you have chosen to worship with us. I hope you do feel the love of Christ in this place. I don't know about you. I'm feeling an extra dose of the Holy Spirit this morning. Just when I got up originally just to look around, I got choked up. Billy gets choked up over the Apostles' Creed. That doesn't happen every Sunday. I believe the Holy Spirit is here. He's got something he wants to do with us today. If you are our guest, I will encourage you to, I'd love to meet you. I'll be out in the foyer after the church service and would love to meet you. Also for our guests and our members, you can register with us online through our app. We'd love to know that you were here. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians 4. I'll explain a few things as we go here, but let's start with Philippians 4. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we sense that you're here. We ask you now to do with us as you will. We need you. We ask you to speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. The message today is different. I'll explain that in just a second. The message today is do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Now, I was going to finish the series on identity today, so you'll have to come back next week to hear that. I was had my sermon putting the final touches on it yesterday afternoon, and the Lord just wouldn't give me peace about it. Wouldn't give me peace about it. And I think the reason I didn't have peace is that I'm. How many of you knew your pastor was human? Did you see Cheryl's hand shoot up real quick? I saw it, Robert. Did you see it? I found myself greatly discouraged yesterday. I'm just laying it out there. Fearful for our future as a nation. And this is not all just tied. This isn't about my guy lost, your guy won, or your guy won or lost. It's not about that. I've had a lot of elections where, quote, my guy didn't win. It's just, I think just the enormity of everything that's going on was weighing on me yesterday. Just a heaviness. Fear. What does God say about fear? Don't do it. Was anxious. God says, don't do it. Just, that's the best way I can describe it, is just a heaviness was on me. And I began to, and that's why I could really, I felt the message on identity, it's important, but it just didn't seem right for today. And I began to just pray, Lord, I'm struggling here. My joy was gone. And how many times have I preached on joy, church? My joy, I had no joy. I was fearful. I was anxious, confused. And I said, Lord, I need help. What am I supposed to share to this church? What am I supposed to be feeling inside? What do I do with this? I feel like it's one of the calls on my life is to be an encourager to you. I hope that you are encouraged regularly by me. And the Lord, I know I preached on Philippians 4 just not that long ago, but in a different context. And the Lord just led me right back to this passage. And I even hesitated even making points, but it lent itself to that. But I just want to speak from the heart today. But the first thing I want to talk about is the Lord told me, don't be anxious about anything. And this passage, that's where it begins. Don't be anxious. Jesus in Matthew 6, and I preached on this a while back too, says, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about these things. These are the words of Christ. But in the midst of not being anxious and not worrying, our world, I'm not sure this is, a very theologically way to say it, but we're jacked up. We're messed up. It just seems like, I just look and I'm just like, man, have we lost our minds? Up is down and right is left and east is west and truth is false and it just seems like the enormity of it all, and it's not just the election but just all of it. I mean, just the the COVID and the anger and the fighting and the rioting and the dysfunction in our denomination and all, it's just, man, the enormity of it all. It just, I've been trying to kind of, as they say, keep a stiff upper lip. And yesterday it was just, I was hammered. Just getting hammered. Jesus reminded me, don't be anxious, don't worry. You know, Trevor mentioned it earlier. He and I were talking this morning, not about all of this, but just kind of what all's going on. And he said something. Where's Trevor? Hi, Trevor. And Trevor said, you know, he reminded me this could be the church's finest hour. And I was reminded, I may have you seen Apollo 13, a great, great movie about that, what happened. And if you've seen the movie or you know the story, this Apollo mission back in the early 70s, they're having all sorts of trouble, and these astronauts may not get home, and the crew there in NASA are struggling. There's these high executives that are standing beside the flight director, and they're over there talking like, oh, this is going to be awful. This is going to be the worst tragedy in the history of NASA. It's going to be a horrible day. And the flight director turns to them and he said, sirs, with all due respect, I believe this will be our finest hour. And thanks for reminding me of that, Trevor. That heaviness fell on me yesterday, but you know what I began to do, and it leads me into the second point. First, God reminded me, don't be anxious about anything. Then it says, rather pray to God with thanksgiving. And so I began to just praise God. Because it doesn't matter what's going on out there in Washington or anywhere else. It doesn't matter what's going on. I've got a Savior. You've got a Savior. And He loves you. Pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. And so I began. I saw this in an email. I have several different emails that I get each week to just to read and I got one from a particular ministry, and they said, turn our fear into worship. What we're fearful of, what we're anxious of, you turn it into worship. And I just began to worship, and I began, there's a song, The Garment of Praise. It's an older song. It's been around. It's a praise song, but it's been around probably for 20 years or so, and I just began to listen to that song. And it says, and it's coming out of Isaiah 61, and it says, just put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so I just began to praise God for who He is and how He feels about me, and knowing that the future is in His hands. So don't be anxious, this passage tells us, but rather pray with thanksgiving. And then He gives us a promise, church. He gives us a promise. So if you're not anxious and you pray with thanksgiving, the peace of God will come. God's peace will come. And that's what happened for me. I found myself this morning, I was concerned because we had a discovery class this morning, and then I've got to come and I've got to preach and I've got to lead worship or lead the congregation, and I didn't want to come in this morning with a spirit of heaviness hanging on me. So I began to just put on the garments of praise, and I found myself when I first walked up here to greet y'all this morning, I just looked around the room and I just just the spirit of joy returned. Because guess what, church? I don't know about how you feel, but I know I have the Lord. I know I have a family that loves me, and I know we have a wonderful church. And we may not all agree on every single issue, but I'm going to take a bold chance here. I know you love me. And I hope you know I love you. In everything, during COVID, during elections, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And that's what I did yesterday with thanksgiving. I just said, Lord, help me. You know, we don't need eloquent prayers. Did you know that? That is a great prayer. Two words, help me. Lord, help me. Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, he says in Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry. But then he goes on, he names all these things, and then he says, don't worry, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Man, we need to be a people in pursuit of his kingdom and his righteousness and let our light shine. And all these things we're worrying about, all these things will be given to us as well. If we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he's going to work it all out. If the walls are crumbling and falling in, he is our protector. I've seen this said before. I've seen it on T-shirts and different things, but sometimes the saying says that sometimes God, he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms his child. You ever seen that? I think there may even be a song that has that in it. And for me, I feel like the storm is still raging. But I know for me yesterday and this morning, he's calming his child in the midst of it all. And here's what I normally my sermon notes, they're usually just kind of some bullet notes, and it's usually a couple of pages, maybe three. This morning, it's less than one page. And go, it's okay, you can say amen, and you applaud, whatever you want to do there. Don't get used to that, by the way. But I feel like the Lord is saying for us to fall on our knees. I heard a story. In fact, I watched it, Suzanne. I'm going to tell it briefly, but I saw a story on Facebook that was told by another pastor, and they talked about how this professor that was teaching some seminary students took them to Epworth in England, which is was the home of John Wesley, to see his childhood home. And they took him in the home, and these students in the home, and they're walking through all through the home, and they go up to the bedroom, and they have all the furniture that is still there that John Wesley had, and his bed is there, and beside his bed were two worn spots beside his bed in the carpet. And they asked, what are these worn spots? And he said, that's where John Wesley prayed, got on his knees and prayed every day for hours. And so they all thought that was really, really awesome, and they all went and left and got in the bus and were ready to head out. And the professor noticed that one of the students was missing, was still in the house. And he went back and he searched through the house, and he found this student beside the bed kneeling in those same two spots. And he was praying, Lord, do it again. The what had broken out from John Wesley, the revival that had broken out. And the student was saying, Lord, do it again. And the professor said, come on, Billy, it's time to go. Billy Graham stood up off his knees and went and joined him with the other students. It was Billy Graham praying that prayer. We all know how that turned out. I feel like the Lord, I don't know, maybe nobody else is struggling like I've been struggling. Maybe it's just me. But even if it's on my behalf, I think we need to pray. I've asked Trevor and the praise team, you guys, y'all come on back up. I've asked them to, extend our closing worship a little bit. I want to offer, you can pray in your seat. That's okay. God hears those prayers too. But I just feel like God is calling some of us to come to the altar. This is not about I voted for this guy or I voted for that guy. To me, I see a nation, I see a people that's lost. Whether there's blue or red in the White House, I see a nation that's our direction. We are messed up. We are confused. We have taken God out of so many things. I'm not even sure if he's in anything anymore. The last, I heard this recently, the last wall standing for righteousness is the church. God used to be in our education system. He used to be in our government. He used to be all over the place. But he's been taken out of all those things. Even scouting. I mean, you just start going through the list. I don't know where to shop anymore. I don't know where to eat anymore. Because it's just all going crazy. Try to support people that I feel like are seeking to please God, and I just don't know where to go. I guess we need to eat at home more often, Cheryl. But where do we buy the food? The last wall standing for God and righteousness is the church. We're it. We are the hope of this nation. Christ said, the church would overcome the gates of hell. I think we're getting close. So I just invite you as we begin to worship together, I invite you to join me at the altar if you can get up there. If not, just stand, walk around, do whatever it is you feel like doing. But I just want us to just pray that God would come back. We would ask the Lord to come back in our nation, to come back with our people, to raise up to for revival. Isn't that a good word, revival? Wouldn't you love to see that? So go ahead, Trevor. Go ahead. So the altar is open.
I've carried a burden.
the midst of whatever, let's raise a hallelujah. Let's praise Him. And the promise we have is the peace of God, which transcends all circumstances, all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever the future holds, we have Jesus. Now go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus Himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. A book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.